Coming to you live from the Retroist Vault, Retro Radio Memories is on the air.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us once again on the Retro Radio Memories podcast. This is the fifth and final episode of the Mad King story arc for the Horatio Hornblower old-time radio series. Captain Hornblower has seen his fortunes turn from good to bad and back again more than once during these five episodes. As we left him in the last show, Hornblower and his crew of the HMS Lydia are desperately attempting to get their vessel combat-worthy before their former, if reluctant, ally, El Supremo, or Don Julian, is able to get his frigate, the Natividad, ready first. In our last episode, there was a mighty battle on the seas between the two as Hornblower attempted to sink the Mad King and his superior vessel. Also of worry for the captain is his unintended passenger, the Lady Barbara Wellesley, who has taken refuge aboard the Lydia to be transported back to England. So let us join the battle-weary Captain Hornblower in the tense moments before battle is renewed in the hopes, as our episode is entitled, The Lydia Sinks the Natividad, here on the Retro Radio Memories Podcast.
Call all hands, beat to quarters. Starboard battery.
One broadside into her, if you please, Captain Bush.
Pointers on target. Linstocks ready.
Aye, aye, sir. Ready.
Fire! Presenting Michael Redgrave as C.S. Forrester's indomitable man of the sea, Horatio Hornblower.
Probability of death and defeat stared me in the face. But I can close my eyes even now and feel again that exhaustion and faintness that I dared not let any man see. It was a nightmare pause in a nightmare battle. Two partially disabled ships drifting rapidly apart, and each with no purpose than to patch its wounds and return to destroy the other.
I can see the Natividad again, now the score's cleared in, sir.
How does she bear?
About 2 points on the starboard beam, sir.
Ah.
There. She's hove to. Looks a bit lopsided without her foremost.
She seems to have made no attempt as yet to rig a new one. Well, as soon as we can carry it and sail off so that we can beat the wind, we'll have it at our mercy. We must try and do it before nightfall, Mr. Bush, or we may lose her altogether in the dark. Now what's this?
Shh. It's the funeral party, sir.
Oh.
Already going out there.
How many?
14, sir.
Very well. Mr. Bush, have all hands stop work, but remain where they are. I intend no disrespect to the dead, but this ceremony must be swift or the living may be endangered.
Aye, aye, sir.
We therefore commit their bodies to the deep.
Captain
checked the leaks now, sir. The sail is fathered under the bottom and seems to be holding. I've been able to release all but 20 men from the pumps.
Good. Everything ready now for hoisting the mast?
All ready, sir.
Right. Now, Mr. Bush, it is important that nobody should haul or carry out any movement except by orders. I shall try to use the pitching of the ship to help in the raising of the mast. And if any man acts without my orders, I'll have him flogged.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hands to the windlass. And Sugera, attend to those swings.
Aye, aye, sir.
Mr. Galbraith, into the mizzen head.
Right, sir.
Never do it. The ropes will slip off the mast head.
If it jerks away from that stump, it'll sweep the deck like a broadside.
You trust the old man. He knows what he's doing, old man.
Oh, if he does.
Where'd you go there?
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Hoist away there!
Fished it firmly to the stump of the old mizzen. I was sick with weariness. I'd been on my quarterdeck for over 8 hours with neither rest nor food. And through the stress and labor of the battle, I was beginning to find it difficult to concentrate upon anything. So that Bush had spoken twice before I could force myself to listen.
I said, sir, that it was a magnificent piece of work, if you'll allow me to say so, sir. Shall I send up the topmast and yards now, sir?
I fear it'll be useless to attempt to carry any canvas in this wind and sea, Mr. Bush. And the Pacific Dad is barely in sight now.
Just a smudge on the horizon, sir.
Aye.
There's not much chance of renewing the action till the wind takes off a bit.
Yes, I cannot imagine the Admiralty accepting that statement in a report.
But it's true enough, sir. We're badly knocked about, and the weather's too rough to carry on the fight.
Nevertheless, the report would be received with pitying smiles, Mr. Bush. The excuse is too old, like the uncharted rock which always causes a wreck. The Admiralty is 10,000 miles away, and they can't judge the strength of this storm from there. If even though I should be accused of cowardice, there's nothing I can do until the weather moderates.
No, sir, there's not. And in that case, sir, why not take a rest? You look mortally tired, sir. Indeed you do. Let me send and have a berth screened off for you in the wardroom.
Little sticks, Mr. Bush. It's you who need a rest. Dismiss the starboard watch and go below and turn in. While the enemy is in sight, I shall stay on deck.
But, sir, I think...
I gave you an order, Mr. Bush.
Aye, aye, sir.
Good fellow, Bush, but a fool. A sentimental fool. He'd treat me like an old woman if I'd let him. Yes, I wonder how Lady Barbara is getting on that. Oh, confound it. He has that idiot of a steward, and can't anybody leave me alone.
Well, Paul Wheel, what do you want?
Well, I've been to attend to the lady, sir. I screened off a bit of the orlop for her, sir.
The orlop? But the wounded are in there.
Well, they're mostly quiet now, sir.
Well, I couldn't leave them. The cable's here.
Oh. I've stung a hammock for her, and she nicked into it like a bird, sir. Took a bit of grub, too, in her. Glass of wine, she did.
Oh, very good, Paul.
Well, now it stands to reason, sir. A frigate in the sea like this, and a battle-like lot with what we've had is, well, it's a bit rough on an high-born lady.
Just confine yourself to facts and keep your opinions to yourself, Paul Wheel. The high-born lady joined this ship of her own free will, knowing that she was about to go into action.
Aye, aye, sir. Now, about you, sir. Here's some dry clothes and a chest in the storeroom.
What?
I'm afraid the last broadside done for everything in your cabin.
Well, I don't want any dry clothes.
Of course you don't, sir. I wouldn't suggest it, except in... Well, if it takes cold, sir, you won't be fit when it catches up with the nativity. Will it change up here, sir, or come below? Now, look. If I just lash this here hammock chair to the rail, sir, you could sit there when you've changed and have this biscuit and rum, couldn't you, sir? And this here boat cloak will keep some of the spray off you. But you won't have to leave the deck.
I will. Are you presuming to give me orders?
Orders, sir? Me? I hope sir knows my place, sir. It's all right, Mr. Bush, sir. You can turn in now. Captain's in his chair and sleeping like a baby, sir.
Good heavens, I must have dozed off. What time is it, I wonder? Impossible, it's after midnight. As black as the Earl of Hell's riding boots. Feels to me as though the weather's improving. Let's have a look at the binnacle.
Ah, Mr. Bush. Wind shifted southerly and moderated, sir. Wish there's a bit of starlight even. Can't see a thing. The Dividad might be 20 miles away or only 200 yards.
Yes, I doubt she's close. She was going away to leeward rapidly when we last saw her.
She can't have carried out all the repairs she'll need in this weather. What do you think she'll do, sir?
That fellow Crespo commands her is no fool. I believe he'll try to avoid us until he can get into the Gulf of Fonseca and refit. He'd like us to follow him into the Gulf, so he'd have the advantage of the shore batteries as well.
But he can't make much sail in his crippled condition, sir. But even if he could, the wind is wrong for getting to the Gulf.
I had observed that fact, Mr. Bush. I believe he'll reach far out to sea and claw southwards as far as he can. I shall return to my chair until daylight and attempt to work out what is likely to be his position at dawn.
Aye, aye, sir. Morning, sir. Sea's going down faster, and the wind's taken off. Sun will be up in 10 minutes.
Yes, we'll make sail, if you please, Mr. Bush. Here is the course you are to sail. But as I gave the course, I knew that it was sheer guesswork. Every yard I sailed might be away from the Natividad while she hurried to safety. My heart was heavy with misgiving, for I knew that if I had failed, there would be many who would attribute that failure to incompetence or cowardice. Over the horizon, I paced the quarterdeck with every appearance of unconcern, determined not to allow anyone to guess at the doubts and fears which tormented me. When the light should be sufficient for the masthead lookout to scan the horizon, I might be justified or ruined. Yet even my resolution to remain calm must have wavered when my gloomy thoughts were pierced by a wild cry from aloft.
We found her, sir. We found her. You are right again, sir. Look, sir. You can see her from here with the glass. Dead ahead. She's coming round, sir. She's running away.
Yes, Crespo wishes to postpone action. He prefers discretion to heroics, and quite rightly, Mr. Bush. However, set every stitch we can carry. Send the hands to breakfast. If we engage, there's no telling when they'll eat again, if ever.
Aye, aye, sir. Hands to breakfast. We're gaining, sir. She'll not get away this time. We'll blow her right out of the water.
Never underestimate your opponent, Mr. Bush. Those 24 pounders of hers are heavy metal. We have a ship which is leaking like a sieve, has a makeshift rig, and is 64 men short. And our firing force is far inferior to hers.
You think the wind's going to hold, sir? Seems to me as if the sun's swallowing it. Whew, it's getting mighty hot, too. It'll be just our luck to lose the wind now. I can't trim it anymore. Hi! You at the wheel!
Oh,
here, small blast you!
I can't, sir, begging your pardon. There ain't enough wind.
Damn it, he's right. The wind's gone, sir. And look at that sky. It's like brass. We're in a dead calm and well out of range.
We will tow with the boat. Have the launch and cutter hoisted out.
Boats away! Cutter's crew! Launch's crew!
Now then, men. You've got a hard task, but it must be done. You've got to pull. Pull till your muscles crack and your hands burst. Now get your clothes off and pull naked. I'll have you relieved in an hour. Now, pull!
Yes, he carries two long 18s aft. We're going to run the gauntlet of those for the next hour.
That was nearer, about 50 yards off our starboard quarter.
Mr. Gerard, ask Mr. Marsh to see what he can do with a long 9 on our forecastle.
All right, sir.
I know it's not much use, but it'll cheer the men to feel that we're replying.
All right, sir. He's ready and waiting.
Very good, Mr. Marsh. Show them some shooting.
Stand by, gun crew. Give me the lanyard.
Very good. Try again.
Here comes some more, fellas. Ah, that one got us just above the waterline, followed. Oh, well done, Mr. Marsh. Right alongside her.
Yes, Mr. Bush, we shall now have 25 guns trained on us instead of 2. She's positioning for a broadside.
We shall have some pebbles about our ears ere long, lads. Let's show them that Englishmen don't care.
There are those shooting. Not more than 2 hits. Mr. Galbraith. Let that main gun stay. Splice directly.
Aye, sir. Mr. Bush, at what distance would you say she is now?
Oh, 3/4 mile, I should say, sir.
So I think. I fear our carronades will not be effective at that distance. Relieve the boat's crews and see if fresh men can pull us nearer.
Aye, aye, sir.
It was intolerably hot. The smell of pitch from the deck seams, the bitter tang of powder, and the smell of the blood from the wounded, combined with my fatigue and anxiety to make me feel deathly sick. I feared to disgrace myself by being sick in front of the men. They, too, no longer joked at the guns. They were beginning to sulk under punishment. It was a bad sign.
Sullivan!
Sir!
Here, Sullivan! You your fiddle?
Aye, sir, I have that.
Well, that, then we'll have a hornpipe. Denskin, Hall, McAvoy, a hornpipe from each of you and a guinea for the man that does his best.
On my words, Mr. Gerald, this will be a tale told and retold in years to come. How Captain Hornblower had his ship towed into action with hornpipes being danced on her main deck.
So Mr. Howell sent me.
Yes, well?
Starboard side chain pump knocked all to pieces.
Well, my boy?
Well, he's rigging another one, sir, but it'll be an hour before it works. He told me to tell you the water's gaining a little, sir.
Very well.
Please, sir, there was 14 men all knocked to smash at the pump. Horrible, sir. I see one man's head.
Tell no boy. Run back to Mr. Howell and tell him the captain is sure he will do his best.
Oh, I see.
There's too much smoke to see properly. But it's my belief we've hit her hard, sir.
Confound this smoke. It's like being in a fog. Ah, Crystal, what is it?
I think I can feel a very light air blowing, sir.
Yes, I believe there is. Ah, look at that.
Look, the smoke's blowing away, sir.
Ooh,
just look at the nativity.
Oh, she's a wreck. There's only others and not standing.
Rigging all round her like a net. And look at that great hole in her side. There's 3 gunboats battered into one there.
She's low in the water, but she's still fighting, by heaven.
We'll be on her soon. The closer we are, the quicker we'll finish it.
And stand by for the orders.
Harbour carronades filled with grape shots.
Look, look at them crouching in the forecastle. They're going to try and board us. Hell! Here they come!
Carronades!
Good riddance to bad rubbish, right? Although with the sinking of the Natividad, it certainly sounds like the Lydia paid a heavy price in the loss of her crew. But at least Don Julian will no longer terrorize the citizens under his rule. Listeners, it's been very enjoyable to present to you a longer story arc than what we usually share on the podcast. And I certainly hope you enjoyed being able to turn in every day for a new old-time radio episode. But what of the Lady Barbara Wellesley? Well, that story arc, I believe, will have to wait until another time. Oh, I want to thank Donna E. for sending me that wonderful instant message on Facebook the other day. She is the second fan of the show to contact me in as many weeks, asking for a longer format for the podcast. What do the rest of you listeners think? Donna also mentioned that she believed Lady Barbara was played by none other than Joan Collins. But I can't find any listing saying she was known for radio work, so I can't say for sure. But, of course, it could be. I think that about wraps up our show for this week. Friends, we hope you remember that you can listen to the Retro Radio Memories podcast almost every Sunday over at The Retroist. The Retro Radio Memories podcast is now available on iTunes, so I would greatly appreciate it if you could go on over and give us a review if you like the show. If you have any comments or feedback for the show, you can reach me at vicsage@retroist.com. The music we use at the beginning and ending of our show was provided by Peachy. If you have musical needs, you may contact him by email at peachy@retroist.com. A big thanks to The Retroist is in order, of course. When you need your retro fix, just hop on over to The Retroist at www.retroist.com. Until next time, The Retro Radio Memories podcast is off the air.
Groucho Mrs. Mae Bazell is all set to play You Bet Your Life, and her partner is one of the world's best-known authors, Mr. C.S. Forrester. So, folks, you can please and meet Groucho Marx.
say the secret word and you each get an extra $50. It's a common word, something you always have with you. Mr. Forrester, it's nice to know you. Nice to know you. I read every one of your books, and I want to know. I think Horatio Alger is an inspiration to every red-blooded boy in America.
Yes, it's Horatio Hornblower, not Horatio Alger, you know.
Well, on this show, the only hornblower is me. Now, what does the CS stand for, Mr. Forrester? Cold salmon?
No, my name's Cecil Scott Forrester.
Well, you just said the secret word, cold salmon. So you win $50 and your partner here wins $50. The word tonight is name.
This has been a Retroist production. Goodbye, and we hope to see you next time.